Hey, neighborhood, your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right, and now there's even more ways to take part in the community. Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards, and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
And now,
this is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the New Age Insiders.
This is the New Age Insiders Wrestling Show.
Hey, this is Cody Rhodes, the Prince of Pro Wrestling, and you are listening to New Age Insiders.
With your host, Jason Maltov.
We watch wrestling to enjoy. If you're not enjoying it, why are you watching?
Liam Stryker.
If I told you once, I told you 1,000 times. Storytelling, storytelling, storytelling.
And Bill Neville.
Unpredictability is the answer. When wrestling's unpredictable, it's at its best.
This is Warbeard Hansen.
This is Johnny Mundo.
This is Donovan Dijak.
Say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund.
This is Zack Ryder.
Hi, this is Howard Finkel.
I'm Bill Goldberg, and the New Age Insiders are next.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, liftoff.
I'm all shook up. Ooh, ooh.
Oh, Elvis?
The King of Rock and Roll. Oh, dead on the toilet.
Yeah. The fried peanut butter and banana sandwiches.
What year did Elvis die? Like 74?
I don't know.
He didn't, he didn't make it to the 80s, right?
No, definitely not.
Maybe not 74. Maybe that'd be a little early. I think we're still maybe at fat Elvis.
Yeah.
But Elvis didn't see the 80s, right?
77.
77. It's not a ballpark. King of Rock and Roll, dead on toilet. There's your headline. One of America's most successful musicians in history. Dead. On toilet.
Yeah.
That's probably of all. I mean, obituaries are never swell, right? But of all, are there three worse words to kick off an obituary than dead on toilet?
I think that that's also a urban legend.
No, he died on the toilet. He had a heart attack on the toilet.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they found him in the bathroom. He had a heart
attack.
That's
unfortunate.
Yeah,
it's a real shitty way to go out.
He overplayed his hand, and. Had a royal flush. He's the king of the rock and roll.
Yeah.
Dead on toilet.
Nice.
Yeah, we got it.
Shout out to T.C. Clockworth and his girlfriend. His wife, not his girlfriend. To be fair, I don't think she exists.
His better half.
I didn't just blow up some sort of weird spot where it's like, oh, boy. My wife agreed to listen to one wrestling podcast during our drive to vacation tomorrow. We're going with the New Age Insiders.
Perfect.
Well, we hope you enjoyed. She immediately wrote back, no, I don't want to listen to anything that's not entertainment. Well, not that we're not entertaining. She's like, I don't want to just listen to wrestling. We're going to talk about more than just wrestling.
Yeah.
We always
buckle
do.
Buckle up, buckaroo.
We always do. Yeah, swashbuckaroo. That's going to be Kyrie Zane's new names.
Yeah.
The pirate punctuation or something ridiculous.
The pirate experience.
The pirate production.
Oh, yeah. Because this company's great at what they do. They're fantastic.
And talk about bittersweet. It's like, oh, my God, I'm so happy for Ivar.
It's Ivar.
Ivar?
Get it right.
No, that's worse.
It's Ivar with an I.
Right.
See, I wasn't in love with Ivar, but now Ivar?
WWE is terrible at everything they do.
Are they Ivar and Eric?
It's Ivar
and they
Eric.
Should be sorry.
It is Eric, right? It's
Eric.
Not Eric, right?
No,
it's
not
Eric. It's Eric.
It's
Ivar
Eric.
And Eric. We could. I don't know if that's on the menu today.
Sure, it's part of the shakeup.
We might as well talk about that because we are. So here's the thing. We have had, if you're a longtime listener to the New Age Insiders, you've gotten to know Todd Warbeard Hansen over the years, right? We've had him on for years, right? He's been on the show like once a year at least for like the last 3 years. Yeah, he's an awesome super dude. He actually announced that what he's doing on our show about a month ago. He came on and actually kind of confirmed the news. This actually is relevant. It's not just putting us over with our interviews. He confirmed on our show, and it was the first time he had publicly stated this, that WWE told them they were going to change the name from War Machine to the War Raiders because they're like, we are going to distance ourselves from the MMA fighter that almost killed Christy Mack, right?
That's what happened.
That we've always kind of speculated. Is it because of the Marvel thing? Is it because of this branding thing? Is it because of the MMA fighter? Now we know. They're like, this guy's named War Machine. We are WWE. Is terrified of Google.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? And doesn't want you to associate the two. But it's strange to me because we talked about this, and whether or not you like it or not, you could be in love with the name. It's almost not important to this part of the conversation. Have you ever seen anybody get repackaged quite like this?
Twice. No.
They were the NXT Tag Team Champions on a Sunday, named the War Raiders. And on a Monday, they were Ivar and Eric, the Viking Experience, and God knows what even the state of the championships are.
This just shows my big issue with this company right now, over the past few years, is that they are so flying by the seat of their pants still that it's an abusive relationship, right? They keep making promises that they're going to change and things are going to get better, and it never does.
And you just miss how great things were in 98.
Right. And it's just even not even just 98, because we got all the way up to 2006, at least for me, where I left, not because necessarily everything was bad. I just personally looked around and was just like, everybody that I like is gone, and I don't really have a connection to any of these people. And I'm also a teenager now, and I found girls. So, like, I found stuff that I got to do. I got practice for sports on Mondays. And, it was easy to kind of distance myself.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
By not having an emotional connection to any of the characters on that current product. And WWE, since that point, fell into the toilet. They keep trying to say that they're going to change, but it's like that that Saddam Hussein song from South Park, Bigger and Longer and Uncut.
Wow. What a reference.
What a reference, huh?
That Saddam Hussein song. Which one's your favorite?
Yeah, the one, I can change. It's a very good song. You should listen to it. Maybe Bill will play it at some point. Who knows?
I'll find it.
That's not the point. The point is it's like, so, yeah, you don't actually like us, and you don't actually care. You're doing your own thing because you have a fan base that liked these people and knew who these people were. And you're in your video games. They're in the card game, and they're in the WWE 2K game as the War Raiders. And so now they get up to the main roster, and it's like, yeah, these people weren't getting over in NXT. You know what'll help? Changing everything.
And it's like, but I know what you're saying, but it's like, that's not even true. They were unbelievably over.
The match of the weekend, arguably, WrestleMania.
But not only in quality, because, like, you know, Andrade Cien Almas puts on great matches every night, and quite frankly, no one cares. You know what I mean? In the audience, no one cares. Sorry, just, like, listen. You know what I mean? Like, Carmella, no one cares you're here. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's just I'm listening to the audience. But the reality with them is, like, so now their chant is war. It's super over. We were at, like, for example,
they were chanting it during their match.
Right. And, well, not only that, but I mean, like, you know that the crowd is not just monkey see, monkey doing. They're ready for it because, like, we're at TakeOver, right, in New York, and then the lights go out, and you can tell it must be them because a bunch of Viking-themed things start to happen. And people start chanting war way before Todd and Ray started prompting them to. It reminded me of Adam Cole. How Adam Cole, when he debuted, didn't have to go, this is the thing I do. Everybody's like, we know!
Yeah.
You know,
we're super heavy here.
You know what I mean? And so it felt like that. It feels like people were like, we know who you are. We are psyched that you're here. We can take a slight tweak to the name.
Eric Eric and Ivar.
Ivar is better.
Yeah.
It's Eric, less dumb.
Yeah, Eric and Ivar doesn't bother me. If you wanted to change their names to more Viking-sounding things, and you wanted to call the War Raiders the Viking Experience because everybody needs a stupid nickname, then fine. But to name the team the Viking Experience...
Oh, it's awful.
It's terrible.
Yeah, it's like we talked about it. It's like it sounds like what the old ride at Epcot, Norway, and Epcot.
Maelstrom.
Yep. Used to be like that would be the Viking Experience.
Yep.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or like the name of a reality show on the History Channel.
Yeah,
would
right.
Would be the where they send a bunch of people out there
to Norway, and it's like you got to live like a Viking for 30 days.
You're a blacksmith now. Good luck. You know what I mean? Right. Like that would be the Viking Experience.
Yeah, right.
And like, look, so I want to say this because it's important to say, and it's so fucking real. That Todd and Ray, we don't know Ray as well. It's just the way that it is. But any experience we've ever had with Raymond Rowe has been awesome, and he's a super good dude.
He was also on the show once.
Right, I know, but I just don't know him as well, right?
Yeah,
but
right. We don't have a cell phone number.
But any experience we've had with him has been super positive, and no one in the world has a bad thing to say about Raymond Rowe, just like Todd. And the reality with Warbeard, Ivar, Ivar Beard, whatever it is like, I'm thrilled. I mean, how cool is it that on Monday we just saw him on Raw?
Yeah,
you
right.
You know what I mean?
He's going to win the Raw Tag Team titles within at Money in the Bank.
So, like, a super talented, super hardworking, super good dude debuted on Raw. That's awesome to see. Put that aside because you kind of people don't care. They just want to talk about the wrestling. Gotcha. Yeah, it's shocking. Not because it's so dumb. Like, you got to almost separate it. You got to almost separate the fact that the name doesn't hit the ear a certain way with the fact that these guys were crazy popular, established talents at a championship level for you, and you're just like, look, we have seen at the introduction, we have seen Kevin Steen become Kevin Owens, and everybody kind of goes, I'll roll with that, fine. Right? We have seen more dramatic transformations like Fergal Devitt becomes Finn Balor. Just we're okay, fine. That's okay.
Here's a better one. El Generico becomes Sami Zayn.
Sure. And then we've seen
that's a 100% repackaging.
And then we've seen things like oddly Dominik Dijak become Dominik Dijakovic. Right.
Right.
And so we've seen that. I have never seen like this isn't day one.
Right.
Ish. This ain't day one ish. This is like, you're a thing. Yeah. This would be like if right now,
right.
Like then all of a sudden they debuted and they were like, yeah, you're not Ricochet anymore. You're Bouncy House. You know what I mean? It's just like, that's like what we put so much time into you being something down here. And like, look, they're going to sell just as well because they're still so good and they're still so impressive and all that stuff. But yeah, why?
Why? Well, and this goes back to this is the Vince, we need you gone. We need God. You got to go because while you're here, you are not helping anymore. You are hurting more than you're helping because of stuff like this, right? You're ripping up scripts prior to shows and rewriting whole shows before, and you're renaming and fixing things that aren't broken because you're out of touch with your audience.
Well, Tim, you know what this kind of starts to smack of a little bit is I think that I did not plan on talking about this, but let's go for it. Right. So Vince McMahon portrays and God bless Vince McMahon. Big picture here. Right. Seems like a total bastard, but thanks for everything. But in like the now. Vince McMahon, I don't think this is going to, you know, breaks any news where it's like this guy has the real, not Mr. McMahon, but Vincent Kennedy McMahon has the real life characteristics of an actual egomaniac.
Yeah, right.
Right. You know what I mean?
Right.
Control, power, dominance. Just like literally there's a kid that wrote in Bret Hart. He produced Bret Hart's segment in the Hall of Fame, mentioned Vince McMahon. Bret went out there and put over Vince and that kid lost his job and he was told, point blank, you are being fired because Vince McMahon said, do not thank me at the Hall of Fame ceremony. You did, and now you're gone. And it's like, Jesus Christ, I said thank you. I didn't take a rib. I didn't take a shot.
Right.
You know
what
I mean? Like I said, go out there and, you know, it's kind of cool that if you really know the history of Bret Hart and Vince McMahon, that Bret Hart can find it in his heart to thank Vince.
Right,
that's
exactly.
It's actually sort of cool.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? Right. And it's just like, and that's not taken into account. It's because I said so. It's weird things like that John Oliver piece where Vince McMahon's at the site on ESPN. He's not even on his home turf.
Yeah,
he went to ESPN.
Right.
And then that guy starts pressing him. And I'll never forget this dude when he just ruffled his papers and goes, ugh. Like a legitimate junior high bully.
Yeah,
and it's
right.
like, that's the guy in charge.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And it's like, he is so... I think like, as I now play psychologist, which I'm not, this is a guy that I think has very recently started to be like, holy shit, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
I'm an old man now. I look it. I kind of feel it. Like, like you know what I mean? The you can count on one hand how many bumps I'm going to take. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, and it's just like, I think he's just... hearing it and hearing it and hearing it, because you got to think like when Vince really formed this ego and this persona, like king shit man guy.
Yeah,
there was no Twitter, there was no Facebook, there was no. All he did was surround himself with people that are like, Vince, you're so goddamn smart. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, you are so brilliant. You're the you're not the reason we almost went bankrupt. You are the reason we're now
exactly.
We're now winning the war. You are, dude, how smart are you?
Right,
you
exactly.
Know what, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
And he spent the whole 80s and the whole 90s, you know what I mean? Right. Just being told, like, you are the king of wrestling.
Well, and into the 2000s.
And he is the king of wrestling, by the way. There's nothing any of us can do about that. He is the king of wrestling. He is the most successful wrestling promoter there will ever right. be, ever,
The problem is he's a shit variety show.
You're right.
He's a shit variety show entertainer.
But to lose perspective of the fact that he is the Barnum and Bailey of the wrestling right. circus industry yep. is yep. who is who he is. But I didn't even know that was a topic. But yeah, but yeah. yeah, the idea though,
we haven't started them yet.
No, and you're right. You're good. But but the idea that like I think we're trying to just see that this guy's like, listen to me. We are going to do it my way because I would rather.
Die.
Right. I would rather just stay this person I've been told I am my whole life, this creative genius.
Right.
Because for the first time in my life, people are telling me I'm wrong and the ratings are reflecting it and people are losing confidence. And now this other goddamn company, Stardust of all people started, you know what
yeah,
I mean? Is now trying to break my ass, you know what I mean? And he's probably looking at it from all ends going like, I'm the king, you know what I mean? Yeah, and everybody's right. like, hey, Vince, you're not wearing any clothes. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Right.
And he's like, what? You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Right,
and I
right.
think that's part of it. Very quickly, and we will just jump into the topics. I want to read this. Sean Gorman, who's one of, he's a local local wrestling promoter, local wrestling manager.
Fantastic.
For guess what? Chaotic Wrestling, right?
Yeah.
But all over the East Coast. And Sean retired probably about 5 years ago now, something like that. But he was a hugely successful manager in the business around the East Coast. And I just want to read this quickly because I think it encapsulates how a lot of people feel. And Sean is a wrestling person. He
yeah,
knows
right.
this business. He's in his 40s. He's been watching a long time. And he's lived it. He's done it. He's like done wrestling. Tell me if this isn't just how you probably think a lot of people feel right now. And I quote, after watching WrestleMania this year, I finally put my finger on exactly why I don't like the current WWE product. To me, it doesn't look like professional wrestling. It looks like professional wrestling being pantomimed. Here's what I mean by that. At its very core, and in its most basic essence, a pro wrestling match is supposed to look like an athletic contest in which someone is trying to win. WWE matches no longer look like that. Instead of working together in noticeable harmony, tandem to make both the match and themselves visually impressive, I see two people going through a formulaic series of moves that leads to them to a series of formulaic spots that ultimately leads to a series of formulaic finishes. In other words, wrestling looks really fake now, and there doesn't seem to be any effort to not make it look fake. Yes, it's true. Wrestling looks like full contact ballet now. At least to me it does.
Yeah.
There are other things too, like the bland homogeny of the characters and wrestlers. As a non-wrestling fan, I watched WrestleMania with matter-of-fact, he watched with a non-wrestling fan, who matter-of-factly said, everyone looks the same, and you don't know who's supposed to be the good guy or the bad guy. Again, that observation was made by someone who isn't a wrestling fan. This person, having watched some old WrestleMania early in the day, also noticed how dead the crowd was compared to WrestleManias of old. I mean, watch the pops during WrestleMania 3 and contrast them to the pops of this past WrestleMania. Clearly the fans used to be way more invested in the characters than the matches. Way more. So that's really it. I haven't regularly watched the WWE since the Austin Rock era. WrestleMania is the only show I watch each year, and as much as the annual get-together with my friends is fun, I am reminded each year why I don't watch the WWE. I just don't have brand loyalty. I started watching wrestling in 1983 and remained a diehard fan up until the early 90s, which was the time I turned out. When I began seeing wrestlers like Bob Sparkplug Holly and Duke the Dumpster Drozzy, I changed the channel and did something else. But then I tuned back in the late 90s when the WWE was killing it every Monday night. Then I tuned out again in the early 2000s. Point being, if the product is good, I'll watch it. If it's not, I won't. That's it. I will say this, though. I don't think I'm old and out of touch, not for not liking wrestling, what wrestling is now. Change is good, but sometimes a thing changes so drastically that it no longer resembles the fundamental thing it's supposed to be. Like, if you grew up watching the NHL and over time the NHL became Disney on Ice, I don't think you're old and out of touch if you don't like Disney on Ice. No one at a restaurant who ordered a steak and then was told they were out of touch when a waiter served them a garden salad and no waiter ever said, oh no, you're mistaken. This is steak now. You're out of touch. And if you like the WWE product, that's great. Good on ya. I personally don't. That's all. And just as always, now that WrestleMania season is over, I am going to change the channel and do something else. I'll see you next year.
Yeah, no, he's 100% right. He's 100% right, because that's exactly how it feels. It doesn't feel like there's anything worth sinking your teeth into. You know, Becky Lynch is still the same person that she was 2 weeks ago. You, as in WWE, haven't given her anything interesting to do. So where do we go? Because you can't turn around and blame the performer that Becky Lynch isn't interesting anymore.
Now, Bill's going to tell me it's only been 2 weeks, and he's right, but I'm going to say it anyway. Oh, Raw is definitely super-duper saved now that that belt's around, right? Seth Rollins definitely feels like the champion of Raw. Am I right, guys? Whether he's having a no-contest tag match with Kofi Kingston or I don't even remember what he did this week.
Yeah, no,
I'm going to start judging next week because the shakeup's over.
Yeah, even still, I mean, it's just you're not giving these people anything interesting to do because nothing means anything. Right?
Uh-huh.
Nothing means anything. There's no continuity to this story. Ironically enough, they're trying to hire a continuity director that they're not going to actually
See, but that's, to me, like, a continuity director, what does that mean? Because a continuity director, film, just means, like, hey, you had the glass in your right hand.
Yeah,
and
now it's your
left. So what are they going to do? Just, like, make sure that, hey, this week the story is still stupid. Is that the continuity?
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, it's definitely them fixing the wrong thing.
because I don't know. Because to me, their issue...
It's not going
to
help.
Yeah.
It's not going to help.
I don't, like, I don't know. And we have actual topics that we'll break down, and we didn't mean to kind of veer into that. But, you know, like, the reality is I thought this was a really good WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of excited about the way things are because I like the idea of new people on new shows. But yeah, we'll hey, now I'm going to say it, so we have to do it. Next week, we are going to have just sort of a full... dump of thoughts episode, right?
Sure,
where we're just going to kind of put it all out there about where we are, what we're thinking, how we feel about, quite frankly, how we feel about wrestling, how we feel about the WWE, how we feel about trying to work with them.
And we'll get more into it next week, but we see who's listening and who's not, and you're not into wrestling.
Yeah, and that's the problem too, is that like we have... a lot of people, quite frankly, over the past year or so that are just like, I love you guys and I'll always support you, but I just don't like wrestling, so I don't listen to any wrestling stuff. And it's just like, okay, we need to be aware of that too. You know what I mean? And so next week, stay tuned, as it's the most honest episode we've ever had, ever, ever.
Yeah.
And look forward to that. Hooray for behind the curtain experiences.
Ooh, that's fun. That's the... let's get into these topics, huh?
Yeah, because there is fun stuff going on, and we do look for it always, but yeah.
All right, so several notable WWE stars switch brands in this week's Superstar Shakeup. Let's touch on the most notable ones.
I mean, the big one has to be Roman Reigns for AJ Styles, right?
That's the biggest trade.
That's the biggest one. I am so excited for both of these things. Less for Roman Reigns just being involved anything, because now you have Roman Reigns in a waters where it's very easy that he could just beat Kofi Kingston for this belt, and I don't like that. But I do like AJ Styles over on Raw. It makes Raw more interesting.
Yeah, so what I like about these is that because where you and I differ is, and I don't think we necessarily differ on this, we just differ on the trickle-down economics of it, is... this roster, and I know this is going to sound so weird, right?
Right.
But this WWE roster, and I mean this, is too good.
Yeah.
It's too good because you are now at the point where people who are literally walking around looking for something to do could be the heavyweight champion of any promotion on earth, Kevin Owens.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And so the trickle-down effect of having seven all-star outfielders when I have three spots in a DH is some people just don't play. Everybody gets sort of pissy about it.
Yeah, right.
I have to try to have this weird rotation where every third day I have a new center fielder, so no one's comfortable, no one's happy, no one has any momentum, but I do, as a company and you as a ticket holder, want you to care about
everybody.
All my outfielders. And it's just like, and then you wind up going like, hey, can you play second? It's like, I'm going to suck at it.
Yeah,
I spent my whole life doing this. You know what I mean? I'm not fucking funny. You know what I mean? Like, not Owens, because he is funny. But I mean,
But at the same time, it's like, hey, I've been built to be basically Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah, and I'm out here, and now I'm
in the New Day now.
Do you know how much you, like, eventually with these things, like, and I mean this, At what point do you hit a point of no return where Kevin Owens has a pancake eating contest and wears a cutoff shirt? And it's like, yeah, we all had a good laugh and I want to have fun too. And I can hear people like DC out there being like, come on, man, have fun. And I did too. But you can't do both because he can't be a killing machine and a funny guy.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Look at, well, we roasted the Big Show for it. Right? We roasted the Big Show for it because one minute he's, you know, dancing around in a diaper in the New Year's commercial, and it's like, ha, look at the Big Show, and then the other time it's like, I have an ironclad contract, and I can be a murder machine, and nobody care, and like, you can't fire me, you know, and so you can't, we didn't take him seriously.
And like, there is a difference between Kevin Owens being humorous, because you know this better than me.
Yeah.
Kevin Steen has always been funny. Has always been
He's a zoo enthusiast.
He's been magnetic. His promos are funny. Even when he's playing the like dirtbag heel, he can still like throw a quip or something at you that makes you laugh.
Right.
He's very entertaining. So I'm not telling you that WWE is trying to force this guy to be out of his element because he doesn't have charisma. Not at all.
No.
But when you have the guy debut and pin John Cena, right?
Right.
To me, it was the most impressive here I am since Lesnar. Because Lesnar showed up and murdered Spike Dudley, like killed a human man on Raw,
right?
And then was just like, every single thing you have for the next year, I am going to win.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so with Owens, it was like, I am here. I broke Sami Zayn into a million pieces.
Yep.
I'm the NXT champion. I showed up here. I beat John Cena because I'm not afraid of fucking anything.
Yeah, right.
And you're all in big trouble for the next 10 years. Right. And now he's not that guy.
No, he's not that guy at
all. He's not that guy.
And again, it's just not listening to what you have. And that's,
and you did it.
Right.
You did it.
Right.
I don't have weird, grainy Ring of Honor footage to show you. I have high definition your footage, you morons.
Yeah.
You had him pin John Cena. What the fuck happened?
Because it's somebody else's guy. It's Hunter's guy. You know, it's
well, they all are now.
I know.
What was the last guy Vince signed? Bringing back Bobby Lashley?
Yes.
You know what I mean? That that human drying paint?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That I have to watch? You know what I mean? Like, the growing grass, Bobby Lashley!
Yeah,
you know
what
I mean? Like, holy crap! You know what I mean? You don't have an eye for this shit anymore?
No. It's also different.
It's making me swear, and I never swear on this show.
Yeah.
It's making me...
It's very different.
But it's just like, you know, I just...
Because
Sean's right. Like, this isn't the thing, and not boobs and blood and middle fingers. I'm not talking about attitude. I'm talking about
because
just like...
you know what's great?
A little zip.
You know what's great? New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yeah.
Because they are beating the bag out of each other.
How about just like, when was the last time you cared as much as like Eddie Guerrero versus JBL? Right?
Yeah, right.
Something like that, where it was like a story where JBL goes like, I don't like Mexicans. And Eddie Guerrero's like, what? I am one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And everybody loved Eddie Guerrero and fucking hated JBL. Like, that's the thing. It's just like, who's the baby face that like everybody loves? Right now it's Kofi. And in 6 months, I hate to say it, it won't be. And then so who's the guy that like everybody loves? Nobody. A bunch of people like a bunch of people. Everybody doesn't like one guy, right? And then who's the guy that everybody hates? Like Baron Corbin, but in like a get the fuck out of here way, not in like a, ooh, you know, you're the Rock, you know what
like
I mean?
Like in the way that you used to hate Triple H.
Right,
where it's like, I flippin' hate you, but goddammit, I'm
glad
you're here.
But I'm glad you're part of this match, and I'm going to take a picture of you spitting water. You know what I mean? But not with Baron, you know what I mean? Like, so there's just, like Sean even said, the reason I wanted to read that is because I think he conveys how a lot of people feel, where it's like, you don't love anybody anymore. You don't hate anybody anymore. Shawn Michaels today had an incredible quote where he goes, this industry is full of good people, and so the industry is suffering. Because he literally, and the interview was incredible, the article is incredible. He goes, I was an asshole. Everybody was an asshole. We were told you had to be an asshole because everybody back here is trying to cut your throat. So you're talking about a locker room full of 27-year-old dickheads fighting and scratching and clawing. And not,
right.
And now everybody's back here like, and got, and I love them. Like, I really do. But like, everybody's DiJack. Yes, sir. No, sir. Where do I go? What do you need me to do? What's my stupid new name? You got it, man. You know what I mean?
Right.
And they're full of that because now the roster is too good. So if you're like, let's just say you're Dana Brooke, right? And you're like, you know what? Screw it. I'm gonna go off script. I'm gonna cut my. I'm gonna be who I want to be. Like, here comes Dana Brooke. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're gonna get fucking fired, girl. You know what I mean? That's what's gonna happen.
Like Sasha Banks. Like if that chick.
Oh, she's done. That chick is done. Everything I hear is that they are so up to here done with that chick that it's just like they are waiting for it. I've been told specifically they are waiting for her to release some sort of tweet that shits on the company so they can point to it and go, you got to get out of here. I'm serious. And so it's like, yeah, but at the same time, you're right. Even Sasha Banks, who should be like, ahem.
Yeah, right.
How was I not in the main event of WrestleMania? This sucks. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, how did I get lapped by 5 different people in the last 2 years? How have I been lapped by Alexa Bliss, Carmella? You know what I mean?
Right.
Becky Lynch. You know, I kind of get rousy, but being like, how am I? I'm Sasha Banks. I'm the first person to ever be a serious merch seller as a woman. I am.
How?
I'm super popular.
I'm a trendsetter.
Super popular, super usable. I'm on the right side of 30, and you didn't even sniff me for the main event of WrestleMania. And somehow, with all the respect in the world, I got passed by Becky Lynch. Are you for real? You know what I mean?
Right.
But if that girl went out there and said that, gone. Toast. Goodbye. You know what I mean? Because I'll just replace you with Lacey Evans. I've already replaced you with Alexa Bliss anyway.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, get lost. And that's what WWE is right now. It's a bunch of people that are like, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, sir, no, sir. And the orders suck.
Yeah.
You know what I
mean? Right. Well, because they don't have a director for this show.
Yeah. And they're all afraid because it's for now, their dream job and their biggest payday.
Right.
So like, and I know, and I'm not burying this guy at all. I totally understand why he wants to be a model employee. But we know that that's what Dijak's doing back there.
Yeah, right.
Jump. How high? If he needed to change his name to Duke Nukem, he'd be like, great. No problem, man. You
I got bubblegum.
You got it, right? Am I going to be on a video game? I don't know.
Yeah.
Duke Nukem.
Well, it's well, you know, but it's true, though. You know what I mean?
Sure,
and he would
sure.
gladly be like, oh, that's a, and again, and that's how we get here. Because you know what's going to happen? Somebody's going to go, Vince, that's genius. Duke Nukem is so topical and relevant. It is. You're right, Vince. It is. It's 1994. You're right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
This upcoming pay-per-view is brought to you by Doom. You know what I mean? And 1-800-COLLECT.
Sick.
We got Doom 3D.
We got Carrot Top back, and the band is the Goo Goo Dolls. You nailed it, Vince. You're so fucking smart. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because that's what they're going to say. So he'll be Dominik Dijakovic. He'll have a fucking 19-syllable name that no kid will be able to spell or fucking pronounce.
Vince will get him to the main roster, say, that name's too long, get rid of the last name, and he'll just be Dominik.
Right. Well, somebody has got to, like, when he falls asleep, just play Dijak on a tape. You know what I mean? So he wakes up going, you know what would be snappy? Dijak. You like it? I thought of it. It's mine. You know what I mean? And everybody's like, Vince,
you're right.
How smart are you? Holy shit, man. You're like a good idea machine. It never stops.
Right.
Somebody put a plug in Vince. He's leaking great information. You know what I mean? Like, that's... Because you know what happens when you don't? That's because Michael P.S. Hayes will have a dumb job forever.
Yeah,
you know
what
I mean? Meanwhile, some like producers like Jamie Noble or something will be like, I don't know, man. That doesn't make any sense. And everybody hates it. And be like, get the fuck out of here.
I
am the king. The best move is... The Miz going to Raw.
I like that. The Usos.
Yeah, I like that too. And Ember Moon will do better on SmackDown.
You mean the War Goddess?
Yeah, sure.
We can't talk
because
about...
we can say war for her, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, whatever we need to do. The Viking Experience.
That's how that started.
Did you see the fan that made the ad? Jungle. No. I thought you were going to play the Ricola ad.
What the fuck was that?
I don't know.
That was Bill's seriously get the fuck out of here song.
Just trying to find Viking horns.
Yeah. No, did you see the guy that made the fan edit and he called them the pillage people?
Oh god, that's tremendous.
The pillage people. Yeah. All right, what's next, Bill?
All right, so dozens of names switched rosters the last couple of days. Do you guys think there were any missed opportunities for greener pastures for some stars that didn't quite move?
Yes. One in particular is Braun Strowman would have been a much bigger fish in a littler pond on SmackDown.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That's the one like that. I understand why they didn't, because the big splash guy had to be Roman Reigns.
Right.
And the guy that they need to be like, this is the face of Fox kind of guy. Like, it's Roman Reigns. and you put Braun on a literally a shorter show with a thinner roster, and it's a dick measuring kind of thing that they were like, yeah, you can have Balor in the Intercontinental title. That's a nice piece and all that stuff. They SmackDown got the majority of the women's division, it felt like.
Yeah.
But yeah, Roman Reigns was your big Here I Am. Elias is your like fun entertainment Here I Am guy. But if Braun Strowman had found himself on SmackDown, I think he would have been closer to that title than he is to Seth Rollins.
Yep, I would agree.
Because he's also, even though we don't want Kofi to lose, having Braun Strowman be like, thanks, little guy, I'll take it from here, that's a cool story. You know what I mean? Right. You can understand why Kofi would look like a champion if he couldn't get by 8 feet of Braun Strowman.
Yeah, right. I would agree.
All right, and overall, who do you guys think won the Superstar Shakeup?
I see a lot of people. We have a poll. Oh, let's dwell on that.
Yeah.
Let's talk to the people. So the poll surprised me because right now, 76% of the audience says it's SmackDown Live, and I just don't see it that way. They got the best player or whatever with Roman Reigns. Like, they got the biggest dog with Roman Reigns. Yeah. But Raw got The Miz. Raw got The Usos. Raw got AJ Styles. Raw got Rey Mysterio. Raw is locking down Lacey Evans, who's involved with Becky Lynch right now.
And the NXT call-ups of the Viking Experience.
For the Viking Experience. The Kairi Sane is the big NXT call-up that SmackDown got.
They officially locked in Ricochet and Aleister Black, too.
That in like with all the love in the world to like Bayley and Ember Moon, it's like, yeah, no, I got to think that. I thought Raw won that thing.
I do, too.
I agree.
What's next? We're just going to plow through these because we bitch for half an hour.
Yeah, I know.
Well, that's all we got for the Superstar Shakeup.
All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about...
Vince is out of touch. Yeah. Screw him.
Yeah, we're the first podcast to be like, Vince might be old. We're revolutionaries here at the New Age Insiders. But no, we just want to be honest with you. And again, next week, we're going to have a big, open, big boy talk.
yeah, we are.
When we come back, we'll talk about even more. Because it's an audio show, and if we pantomimed, you wouldn't appreciate it.
Ooh, that's fun.
Hey, neighborhood. Your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right, and now there's even more ways to take part in the community. Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards, and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience. Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
I'm retired business executive and seasoned dad, Jamie Jamikowski.
And I'm a rookie dad and local independent wrestler, Scotty Slade, and we're the hosts of For the Pops.
We're the only podcast on the NAI Pop Network that has a mix of sports, wrestling, and pop culture all in under an hour.
This is a place where two pops talk about the topics that interest us with a special guest in each episode.
And we have a splash of pop culture information to help us survive in our world of wives, kids, and coworkers.
And at the end of each episode, if that wasn't enough, Jamie tests both our guest and I on obscure pop culture facts in an exclusive segment called For the Pops Quiz.
So don't miss For the Pops with Scotty Slade and me, Jamie Jamikowski, only on the NAI Pop Network.
You know, it's pretty crazy, but NAI Pod has now been downloaded on 6 continents and has thousands of weekly listeners.
Yeah, step it up, Antarctica.
Does that make us intercontinental champions?
Kinda. But it also means NAI Pod is a great way to advertise your business, brand, or website.
If you would like to advertise with the New Age Insiders, shoot us an email. NewAgeInsiders@gmail.com.
Tap into a constantly growing audience, advertise with the New Age Insiders, and take your business to main event heights. Send your emails to NewAgeInsiders@gmail.com. That's NewAgeInsiders@gmail.com.
Hey everybody, it's Rich Palladino, the voice of Chaotic Wrestling. I want to remind you to listen to the Let the Chaos Begin podcast right here on the NAI Pop Network. You will hear stories from the 18-year history of Chaotic Wrestling from the two guys that were there from day one, myself and former Chaotic Wrestling owner Jamie Jamikowski. That is the Let the Chaos Begin podcast right here on the NAI Pop Network.
Seriously, I don't even get to talk during this promo?
Shut up, Jamie.
Let's get back to more of the New Age Insiders. Here's Jason Molotov, Liam Stryker, and Bill Neville.
Oh, the Macho Madness.
I definitely unpopular opinion. Dumbass theme. Why is your theme the graduation theme?
So
it always has been stupid to me.
So the only thing that I would have to say is that it had to have been because they were like, everybody needs a theme now.
Right.
And he was like, I can't think of one. And this is what I decided.
But at no point did we like get it together.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, we wrote Real American.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, that's not just, you know, Taps.
Yeah, no.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, trust me.
It's not just a fucking...
the military death song.
Military funeral.
Yeah, no.
Which is Hogan's later years, really. Yeah, a military funeral where it's like, goddamn, you died a hero, kind of. No, you didn't.
Yeah.
It's not a military
show. So I wanted to talk about this because Viceland has a new series out.
The Viceland Experience?
Yeah, the Viceland Experience. Viceland, you can go to Viceland.com and you can watch the first two episodes. The third one is airing tonight. If you're listening to this live, it starts in about 10 minutes. But it's called The Dark Side of the Ring, where...
If you listen to it and start The Wizard of Oz at the same time, it's eerily syncs up.
But Dark Side of the Ring, where the gimmick is... that they have real wrestlers that lived these experiences talking about these real moments. And so the two episodes that are out currently that you can watch is Macho Man Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth and people talking about them. And, you know, it's a lot of people that are close to him. Lanny Poffo is in that, as well as
Hogan's wife.
Ex-wife Linda Hogan talks about the relationship between Macho Man Randy Savage and... Miss Elizabeth.
She Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, she Hulk Hogan. Her Hulk Hurgan.
Hulk Hurgan.
Hulk Hurgan.
The Viking experience.
The Viking experience. Why do you have to be so racist, Hulk Hurgan? Yeah. We want to like you, but we have to light you on fire now.
Yep. The other one was more interesting. It was Dutch Mandel and... Tony Atlas.
The inventor of the blunt.
Yeah, the inventor of the blunt. They were talking about the death of Bruiser Brody.
Yeah.
They're very, very well done. They recount. They do, you know, they have a lot. They talk about stories that from people that are here. Tonight, they're going to be talking about the Montreal Screwjob. And it'll be very interesting to see because...
Jamie thinks it's a work, do you?
What?
The Screwjob.
I think...
I feel like it could be.
I don't know. Brett was so mad.
Yeah.
Brett was so mad. And I can absolutely believe... See, like, the thing about this is, like, I can believe... The factors about the screw job to me are, I can believe that Brett would refuse to lose.
Right.
I can believe that Triple H is the guy that's just like, oh, fuck him. Let's just have him lose.
Yeah, right.
I can believe that Vince is like, yep. You know what I mean? And then I can... The biggest thing to me is, how in 22 years have not Brett, Sean, Hunter, Vince... somebody come out and been like, ah, we got you. You know what I mean? Like, nobody. Everybody is like basically been like, yep, that's... And like, you look at the thing and it's just like, he literally spit on Vince and just walked around breaking everything he could. That black eye Vince had on camera was from Bret Hart punching him in the eye. It's like wrestling fans that take something like that and go, yeah, they worked us. Yep, Vince was like, all right, now sock me in the eye, pal. You know what I mean? Like, they just don't work that
well,
hard.
Well, I also... The big thing about the screw job is how does Vince make the money, right?
To launch the Mr. McMahon character.
Right, right. Well, that's how he makes the money, but that couldn't have been the foresight, right?
Because
that was a result of something.
The conspiracy theory would be, you're so wrapped up in what the hell happened at Survivor Series that you have to watch Monday, and every Monday counts.
Right, which is fine. But
that's so...
But again, that's so nearsighted.
Yeah.
That's so nearsighted that it doesn't make sense to me.
I just don't think Bret Hart, as a purist as he is, would be okay with, like, let's...
blur the lines.
Blur the finish, right? And then, like, the controversy will be that I was supposed to win, and Bret Hart in 97, I don't think would have been comfortable with, like, the phrase, supposed to win.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I just never thought so. But what do you think of, you know, Viceland?
They're fantastic. Now...
Did you learn anything yet?
So the Bruiser Brody thing was very interesting.
Yes.
That was very interesting because, you know, it kind of cleared up a lot of the details of what had happened.
So we think.
And, you know, again.
Because I was always under the assumption that Carlos Colon was the one that killed him.
Right, but it wasn't.
Yeah, no, right.
It was the
old rumor is that Colon literally supplied the weapon and had the orders.
Yes, and that's what is implied, because nobody knew. Like, nobody saw Colon do it.
Yeah.
But they talk about how Colon and the guy that did it were like, talking.
Just side note. Man, it is downright weird that Carlos Colon's in this Hall of Fame, right? And got in like 3 years ago.
Right.
It's not one of those things where like he got in like 15 years ago and we just found out some shit. It's like everybody knows he's involved in this thing.
Right.
Everybody. As soon as they announced Carlos Colon, everybody on the internet was like, the guy that killed Bruce Brody? You know what I mean? Like, everybody said that.
He must have something on Vince.
Well, for what it's worth, I've heard two things. His sons are Primo and Epico.
Well, yeah.
Right. But the other thing is, too, is that Colon was able to give them the Mid-South tapes.
Yeah, right.
Something like that.
Okay.
So they had a library.
Yeah, it was either the Mid-South or Memphis or something. There was a territory
they had
that got...
a library.
Exactly, and he got those tapes, and that was kind of a mea culpa.
Yeah. The interesting thing about that, too, is the conflict in stories, because Abdullah the Butcher... like in Tony Atlas are basically kind of arguing details the whole time and calling each other liars.
Wow.
Which is very interesting.
What are the two sides of the story?
So basically Abdullah the Butcher, from what I gathered from the story, had some sort of stake in the actual wrestling promotion that this took place in.
Okay.
And so Tony Atlas watched Bruiser Brody get stabbed, brought him to the hospital, and then was like, hey, police, you have to arrest this wrestler because he stabbed Bruiser Brody. Like, that's what happened.
Yeah.
And then basically Tony Atlas says that he spent the night on the beach because...
it was like the 70s, and so they arrested Tony Atlas for being black.
Yeah.
It's like, I know who did it. It's like, yeah, you. Like,
what?
No, yeah. No, so wrong.
Because people were like, you know, Colon and the guy's name, he was the Invader. And so the Invader...
I didn't do it, man. Yeah, my name might be Dan Stab Factory McIntosh, yeah. But I didn't do it, man.
I didn't do it, man. Yeah, but they're looking
Stand
for
the Shiv.
Yeah, but he was like...
Factory McIntosh?
Yeah,
it's a different time.
It's a very different time. But they were talking about how it was like there was a meeting that took place, and Abdul's like, that never happened. But, you know, Zeb Coulter the entire time was like, yeah, that happened.
What would you hope to get out of the screwdrop one?
I would like to see, like, if there was going to be a tidbit of information that it was like.
Because Wrestling with Shadows, or whatever the hell it's called, did a good job.
Right. You know, so if there is some work information, you know, I would see, hopefully, that gets leaked there, or something about how far in advance it was planned. You know, the unfortunate thing with the screw job, because they talked about Macho Man and Liz, and Bruce Pritchard was on it and talked, and Linda Hogan, who was heavily involved, talked. Hulk Hogan was mad about it, and then Viceland clapped back and was like, we asked you, you asshole.
Yeah.
And like, so don't have thoughts after the fact, you know, and then Lanny Poffo.
Hogan, why are you so bad at public relations now?
Yeah,
you
right.
Used to be the man.
Yeah.
We had Pasta Mania. You were so goddamn charismatic.
I know. Pasta Mania, because who thought that blonde asshole was gonna?
Can you imagine that? Yeah. Like Roman Reigns, you're going out there and selling some shirts. How do you feel about pumping noodles?
Yeah, right.
You can handle that, big guy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you can do that, right? Who knows? Yeah, who knows?
We're gonna have you pump romaine lettuce. You know, get it, right?
But you know, having Abdullah the Butcher on the Bruiser Brody thing, having Tony Atlas on the Bruiser Brody thing was very interesting because it shed light on there. The Montreal Screwjob is only going to be interesting if it's like, yeah, can we talk to Hunter?
See,
are we going to talk to Vince?
That's the one interview I'm dying for, is for Triple H to finally sit down and be like, yeah, Brett's like, I'm not going to drop the belt. And I'm like, yeah, you are. And here's how. And yeah, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's the interview I need, because if it's just going to be Sean being like, and then it was tense. It's like, we know. We know right. You didn't like each other.
Yeah.
You were a sexy boy, and
he was not
a boring man. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
right.
We know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So, but, yeah, that's
the
biggest thing.
It's like, who... I don't know who's going to be in that interview.
Yeah.
You know, because that's the big thing. It's like, are you going to be able to sit down with Vince?
And or even, like, you know, it would be a great interview. Who's got a guy who's got nothing to lose? Interview Earl Hebner.
Yeah, right.
He's got nothing to lose.
Right.
He's never going to work for WWE again, no matter what he says. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Right.
So have that guy sit down and be like, yeah, I was in Gorilla, and Vince was like, this is how it's going down. And I was like, son of a gun. Because Hebner made the call.
Right.
You know what I mean? There were three people that had to know. And we were always told there were four. Vince, Sean, and Hebner had to know.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? And we know that Hunter did. But like Vince and Sean and Hebner
had to know.
You know what I mean? And even if you didn't think Sean knew, which he did, and he admitted that he did later, but he denied for years. But like, yeah, Hebner was like, yeah, when you go for the sharpshooter, ring the bell. I'd love to hear from that guy.
Right.
You know what
like,
I mean?
That'll be interesting. But it's like, yeah, if it's just going to be like...
It's going to be badass Billy Gunn being like, it was weird.
Yeah, right. You know, it's like, it's that. And then it's going to be the Brett. And it's just like, yeah, Brett, we know. There's a whole movie on it.
He's going to get tackled.
Yeah, he's going to get tackled by a Rastafarian.
I'd like to think that that's just Bret Hart's future now. It's like all of a sudden Bret Hart just gets tackled by different white people who have no business wearing the hats they're wearing.
Yeah, right.
What are you wearing that hat for, you idiot?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, Jesus.
You Rasta asshole.
Can you not? Can white people not take everything from everybody?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Rumor has it that John Cena is in talks to join the cast of Suicide Squad 2.
Now, what is the role? It matters.
Yeah, it does matters.
We don't know yet.
Yeah, so it matters who John Cena is going to be playing in Suicide Squad 2, but John Cena is...
Is that Killer Croc in that graphic?
Yeah.
Holy shit, they messed that up. He looks like a shark with arms.
Oh,
looks like a street shark.
You saw the movie, didn't you?
No. That's not what he looked
like.
That's also not what he looked like in the first one.
Yeah, right. Because like he didn't look like that, right? But yeah. Doesn't it look like a street shark?
It did look like a street shark.
Anyway.
But it depends. I don't know who I would have him play, but John Cena is very much on the same Rock path. Right now, as an actor, John Cena is separating himself from the wrestling.
See, what I think is John Cena, as far as the actor, is right in the middle of the two biggest guys I've ever go out and try to do this, right?
Right.
Hogan bombed. He made B movies and was bad in them. Yes, he was in a Rocky movie, but that's not a Hulk Hogan movie. You know what I mean? Mr. Yeah. Nanny is a Hulk Hogan movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
So Hogan,
Santa with muscles.
Right, exactly. So Hogan was in bad movies and was bad in them. You know what I mean?
Yes.
The Rock is the biggest movie star in the world.
Right.
And I think that John Cena will fall closer to The Rock, but kind of right in the middle.
Well,
where, like, Cena's going to be a movie star.
Right. Well, the thing with The Rock was, Rock isn't the actor that he is today, right? He started out and he did The Scorpion King. And then he did The Game Plan. And then he did a couple of movies like that. The Tooth Fairy was another one.
Oh, yeah.
And so
Escape from Witch Mountain starred The Rock.
Right. And so we're kind of in that realm right now, right? Where because The Rock's turning point in movies was Fast Five. He shows up in Fast Five, and that role was written for him in a way that none of the other roles were written for him that way. And I think Bumblebee did a lot of help for John Cena. And so now he's starting to distance himself from being just John Cena, the wrestler.
Trainwreck was good for him too, because that movie was just so outside of what you thought about John Cena.
Right.
Him playing this like weirdly closeted, gay, sensitive man. You know what
he
I mean?
He was really good in Blockers.
Yeah, he was.
He was really good in Blockers as the dad.
Yep, he's...
You know, so he's definitely turning himself around.
And he's genuinely charming.
He is genuinely charming. So I think Bumblebee was very important. I think if, you know, I don't know if what's his name is actually going to still be on board for Suicide Squad 2. James Gunn.
Headstrong Live says it's not Killer Croc, that's King Shark. Thank you. At least that's much better. That makes me feel much, much better. Because I was like, what the hell happened to Killer Croc? Why is he all smooth?
Yeah, no, that wasn't Killer Croc. But the point is that maybe he's playing King Croc. I don't know.
King Shark?
No, King Shark.
King Shark, a combination of King Shark and Killer Croc.
Yeah.
I like Killer Croc too, but what a weird character.
Yeah, it was bad. Suicide Squad was bad.
Kind of a poor man's Dr. Lizard, but
but if James Gunn is still doing it, I think he'd be able to bring the most out of John Cena.
Well, because we like superheroes, what would John Cena be a good fit for?
So
I have a name.
The problem is that he's got to be a villain if he's going to be in Suicide Squad.
Right, but in general, open casting.
Yeah, if
DC Marvel open casting.
Okay.
I get a name.
If he okay, go ahead.
John Cena should be Superman.
Oh.
John Cena should be Superman. He like and not like, you know, just because it's John Cena. He looks the part. Superman is able to casually pick up cars. you know what I mean? Right. So is in very good shape as Henry
Cavill
is, right?
Yeah.
Right? He is not ripped to the point where he could punch you to the moon. Like, you know, like
right.
You have to understand that adult Superman has been powered by a radioactive sun for 20 years at this point and like literally can just one hand pick up a car.
Yeah.
And so like John Cena looks like the product of that to me.
Yeah.
And I think he could pull off kind of a more not so clean cut, like I've got a couple jabs right back at you, Superman.
I think he could play a clean cut Superman too.
I think he could. I just don't want him to. Superman needs to be more interesting.
Yeah, he's
I don't think he could play a good Bruce Wayne.
Oh no. No, Batman's definitely out of the question.
Right. You know what I mean? Even though he's all jacked up and stuff, I just think that that guy's Superman. And he could play a great Clark Kent. You know what I mean? Because we've
shucks.
Because we've seen it.
Yeah,
we've
in Blockers.
Right. We've seen and just John Cena. Yeah. We've seen John Cena be the aw shucks, you know, do the right thing, you know, no, you got it, Mr. White kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
And then all of a sudden it's like, you know, word life.
Time.
Word life.
It's basic thugonomics.
You know what I mean? And I just think the finally having a formal photo shoot with John Cena as Superman would be just good for the internet.
Right. All right, so in the last week or so, Disney Plus was finally officially announced. We have a start date. We have pricing. What are your thoughts?
The pricing is shocking.
$7?
Yeah.
Like, that's it, right? It's not a tier.
It's $7 a month or it's $70 for the year.
Right. So it's not like $7 a month gets you nothing and 15 gets you everything. It's like $7.
And there's also going, I don't think they released the pricing or maybe they did, but there is.
For the combo packs?
For the combo pack with Hulu and ESPN. And it's still like under $25 for all three.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow. And I've been I talked about this with somebody else, but basically it makes all the sense in the world. I'm Disney. I own all of this. I don't have to license any of it out. So instead of having the customer pay $11 and really due to all streaming, all the licensing and everything, I only make $3. No, I make all $7.
Yep.
Because I own it.
Yep.
I own it all.
And I bought all this stuff, not to just redistribute it, but like I have it. I want to distribute it. I want to have it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Pay me for it.
Yeah. I'm not going to get a flat rate.
The Simpsons is going to be on it.
Right.
Every single episode of The Simpsons, all 10 seasons actually worth watching, are going to be on that platform.
Right.
You got me.
It's pretty crazy.
I will fall asleep to The Simpsons for the rest of my life now.
Yeah.
I hope you know that.
I'm happy for you.
I hope you know that, any girl in my life. We are going to fall asleep to The Simpsons forever.
You know, and on top of that, they are really going for it. The Mandalorian is super interesting. The fact that they have a Winter Soldier and Falcon show planned and a bunch of other Marvel shows with those actors actually planned for this service, it's going to take over your life in a way that no other streaming service has.
Bart gets an elephant. That's the first episode I'm going to watch. Love Stampy.
Okay.
Ah, fantastic. Just a great, and just everybody should have it. $7. It's $2 a week. Just get it.
It's pretty awesome, too, because they're right on day one when you sign up. They're going to have all the live action films that they've ever made, and they're also going to have all the Diamond Platinum signature collections and the ones that are all in the vault.
Like Song of the South?
Right. Like everything is going to be there.
Won't be that.
Day one.
That's
pretty
awesome.
Pretty amazing.
That's terrific. Are they going to have the Little Mermaid where the cover art is penises?
Maybe.
Ooh. Now that's from the vault.
Yeah.
Remember that when those artists had a good time?
Yeah.
What if we made the castle out of dicks?
Yeah.
And then one day everybody's like, oh, man.
They look like dicks.
Amazing what you could get away with before the internet.
I know.
Just like everybody knew, but no one had a place to talk about it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Everybody can talk
and
about it.
And then like the first AOL chat room ever created, the first person was like, did you ever see that dick castle in The Little Mermaid? And it was like, I know.
Yeah, right.
Finally talk about it.
Another thing that caught my eye too is that supposedly for all the Disney films that are coming out in the next couple of years, immediately after the theatrical run, it's going to be on Disney Plus.
Yeah. Oh, game over, man.
Yeah.
Game over.
Yeah. I mean, Disney might, I mean, just get to the point where they stop putting things on DVD.
Yeah, sure.
And they're just like, if you want it, this is how you get it.
This is how you got to get it.
Yes.
Well, they had a study that they were saying, like, out of the movies that are purchased for Disney or rented for Disney, only like 19% of them are actually physical copies.
Oh, yeah. Like
most of them are digital now.
Right. Well, you're getting to that. Everything. You're getting to that point too now, where it's like with
I have a smart TV.
Well, the average car doesn't have a CD player anymore. We've now remember how it got from like it'll have a VHS, it'll have a VHS, it'll have a cassette player, and then it'll have a cassette player and a CD player. Then it'll have a CD player. Then it'll have a CD player and Bluetooth. Now it says Bluetooth. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's what it is.
Right.
You either have an aux cord or Bluetooth. Very few new 2019 cars have CD players.
Right.
And it's just like that's the direction. Is like eventually.
Well,
yeah, we're going to laugh at the idea that we used to fucking pop something in to watch
it. It is almost, we're getting right to that point in the medium, too, where it's more cost effective to just get a smart TV at this point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, the TV you're going to get for $50 is going to be too small and useless, whereas, like, you can get a real TV for $150, and it's going to have everything built in.
And, you know, 15, 20 years, every home will be like, turn my lights on. And then they'll just, you know what I mean? It'll all be that stuff. Yeah, but Disney Plus, worth the buy.
One thing that really jumped out to me, too, is that National Geographic is going to have stuff on there as well.
Ooh,
and there's going to be a new show called The World, according to Jeff Goldblum. And it's literally just going to be Jeff Goldblum talking about everyday objects.
Yeah. Wow, like pencils?
Yes.
Well, thank you, Jeff Goldblum.
Yes, I'm so in.
He
on
was
that.
On Hot Ones, and that episode was far funnier than it had to be.
Oh, yeah. That guy is a riot, man.
He totally pussed out, though.
Yeah.
Like, nibbled on those little wings, and was like, Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah, you also had vegan wings.
Oh, yeah, you nibbled on cauliflower, you girl.
Yeah, right.
All right, Liam, you want to take the lead on this one? The PlayStation 5 was announced. You want to talk about some of the specs?
So basically, the big thing with the PlayStation 5, there's kind of two big things that they announced, because it's finally, this is the first of the next-gen consoles. Say what you will about the Switch. That might be technically the first one. Nintendo usually kind of releases something first, but it's never technically like the blow-your-doors-off, like pro-gamer setup, right? So go buy a Switch, because it's great, and it's delightful.
Yay!
But the PlayStation 5 has been officially announced by Sony, and there are a couple of things that they...
It floats.
Yeah, it floats. There's a couple of things that they really wanted to upgrade, and one is they're introducing solid-state drives into the PlayStation 5, and it's going to be backwards compatible, both of which...
For PS4, right?
For PS4, which are both very, very important, you know, just because solid-state drives have a better write speed and are going to be able to handle more data, and they're less likely to fail.
I think I saw something the other day about this PS5, those drives that you're talking about, where in the new Spider-Man game, the load screens are averaging like 16 or 17 seconds, and this is going to be like 0.9 seconds.
Correct. It's going to speed up these games immensely, which is absolutely great, absolutely bananas. It's gonna.
Does that basically mean the whole game is preloaded before you play, so there's no need to buffer?
More or less, yeah. Okay. So, like in the new Spider-Man game, the best way to describe it is like you'll be in New York, and you can just be in New York and go all the way
with
around,
the game, yeah.
Right? But if you want to go into Dr. Octopus's like lab because there's stuff to do in there, there's a load screen. Or if you go from that to a cutscene of some kind to like start a mission or something, there's a cutscene.
End a mission, yeah.
Right. So there's 16 seconds or so, and this is going to cut that in half, which is awesome. And then the backwards compatibility.
Because who has 15 whole seconds? I mean, I'm sitting on my ass playing video games. I don't have time.
It does feel long when you're sitting there playing a game.
No, I'm kidding. I'm just talking about how spoiled we are.
Super
Mario Brothers 3, you couldn't save.
Yeah, right. I know. but the one that's kind of more important to me is that the backwards compatibility. You invest all of these hours, or all this money into these games and hours into these games, and then, you know, for recent memory, because the PlayStation 2 was the last one to like really do it, where it's like
PS3 could play PS2 games.
All
of them.
Not all of them. It was like
really? Because the Xbox is the same thing.
Yeah, the Xbox 360 was the same way, where it was like you could play Halo 2, but God help you if you want to play Halo 1. You know what I mean? And it's just like, so it was select titles. Same thing with the PS4, and I think it's not at all for the PS3. Like, you can't even play games for the PS3 at all. So I'm really, you know, at least it's one generation back. We're kind of getting back to it. Because, if you want to play, you know, Kingdom Hearts 1 on the PlayStation 2, go get a PS2.
See, that's strange to me, though, because you think it would be so easy. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like somebody that's like got an advanced degree in current engineering and then goes back to the 1800s and is like, what is this? You know what I mean? Yeah, looking at a motor, like, what? Like, you'd think it'd be super easy. It's just like, yeah, play this
very,
very rudimentary game I can definitely handle.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think it's just in the way that the games are like, or the systems.
It's how the information's processed.
Yeah, the information's just processed.
It's how the information's processed. The discs used to be read by actual, like the laser. The laser used to be the kind of laser that reads compact discs.
Yeah, right.
And now the lasers are Blu-ray lasers that need to process the information. It's just a way.
Right. Because nowadays they just download the game and you're basically playing it off of a computer.
More or less.
That is basically what's happening. Because like my PlayStation 4, I have a hard drive that I have attached to it because I have a terabyte hard drive that has all these games on it because I ran out of storage on the original.
It's not exactly the same, but it's an amazing appeal of the last three Nintendo systems that you can download every game you actually have ever cared about on Nintendo.
Right.
I will never throw my Wii away. It's still upstairs because if you fire that thing up,
it's
has
everything.
All three Sega Sonic the Hedgehog Sega games, 1, 2, and 3.
Okay.
It's got Super Mario Brothers World, Super Mario Brothers 3, Super Mario Brothers 2, 1, the Lost Levels, the Donkey Kong Country games for Super Nintendo. I downloaded all of those onto that machine, and I got a little time capsule now with that thing. Huh. And that's Nintendo's.
There's even some 64 games on there too.
Yeah.
All the ones you want to play.
Yeah.
The awesome thing about this Switch Online is that they basically opened up the library, right? So that you pay $20 for the year and you get online capability with the Switch.
Yep.
But you get a section of it that is just old games. And like every couple of weeks, they just release new stuff.
Yep.
And they just released Mario the Lost Levels.
Yep.
And one of my favorite things is...
Game is stupid hard.
Yeah. But Bill, have you?
I have not dabbled in that yet.
You haven't dabbled in that? Oh, one of my favorite things is...
I was playing ice hockey the other day.
So
that was fun.
Hard.
There are games on there, like Zelda, like The Legend of Zelda, the original one, that they also just have the one where you start with everything.
Oh, yeah,
so there's like two different versions of it. It's very fun.
Yeah, I mean, the nostalgia things, because Nintendo is just brilliant. Nintendo, like, don't get me wrong, they do... on occasion release new IPs. They've had a ton of success with Splatoon, which is only like a 5-6-year-old IP for them. So every once in a while they'll come up with like a new thing, but they're brilliant because they're just like, they're everything Vince wants to be because Super Mario can't die. So it's just like, oh, what do you like, Mario? I'll give you Mario games forever, pal.
Right.
What do you like? There's like, basically they just run off like 5 IPs. Mario, Zelda, Kirby, Pokemon, and Donkey Kong. And then then I can use those characters in Mario Kart, in Smash Brothers, in side games, in subsequent games, in Yarn.
What if they played in the Olympics?
Right, exactly. What if fucking Mario...
What if they played golf?
Yeah, what if Mario liked tennis? You know what I mean?
Right.
And so it's just like... also, this is completely non-sequitous. This is how we'll end the show. One of the funniest things I've ever seen on the internet ever. I don't know... It was on a Reddit forum. I don't know which one. But it was just screenshot, and it's somebody that wrote under a thread. You couldn't see what the top thread was. You just see that somebody wrote underneath that, go, girl, I want to see those big boobies bouncing in my face. And then it's an official response from a verified account that goes, sir, this is Mario Tennis. And it's just like Mario Tennis. I'd be like, what? You know what I mean? And I just saw that. And I was just so like, funny. Why did you go find Mario Tennis's official account and go, girl, I want those big boobies bouncing in my face? And the guy that couldn't even control himself, he's like, pal, this is Mario Tennis.
Yeah, what are you talking
what
about?
What is wrong with you?
Yeah, that's so funny.
The fun continues on Patreon.com / New Age Insiders. That's where we have even more fun.
Even more speed.
Even more speed.
Thank you for listening. If it's Wednesday night and it's 8:00, you should be on twitch.tv/New Age Insiders TV. Next week, we are going to talk about kind of the state of where we are.
And the state of the union.
Everything we got going on and all
state
that.
State of the inside.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the inside. edition.
It's a fourth wall.
And but we're going to keep it going. Patreon.com/New Age Insiders. If you have Twitch Prime, you can subscribe to New Age Insiders on Twitch Prime for free. You can also just regularly do it and be terrific. Twitch.tv/New Age Insiders TV. You can subscribe to Patreon.com/New Age Insiders now. We'll send you the live link. We're going to kick it on over and just keep this whole conversation going. Keep having fun. We appreciate the support. Next week's going to be a great show. We really encourage everybody to check it out. And we'll see you in just a couple minutes if you're a Patreon. My name's been Jason Malta.
I'm Liam Startup.
And I'm Bill Devil.
And we are the New Age Insiders. You can find us on Twitter, and please do. We are at New Age Insiders, at Liam NAI, at Bill Neville NAI, the website, everything we got going on, newageinsiders.com. And girl, I want those big boobies in my face. This is Mario Tennis, and you have made us the premier place for wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard.
We out.